From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here's the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir has asked state-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina to increase its oil and gas production in the Rokan Block, Riau province, after the management shift from PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia. He also lauded the work of 2,689 Chevron Pacific Indonesia ex-workers who officially joined Pertamina. As quoted by Antara, Minister Erick Thohir in a statement on Wednesday stated that it is timely for the government to achieve national energy sovereignty and independence. During the first semester of 2021, the average production of the Rokan Block was around 160,500 barrels of oil per day, or some 24% of national production, as well as 41 million cubic feet of natural gas per day. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has assured his support for Chinese investment in Indonesia's health sector. As reported by Antara News Agency, during the recent handing over of medical assistance from the Chinese government for handling of COVID-19 to Indonesia, Minister Panjaitan said that Indonesia will support China's investment in the health sector in the future, such as investment in vaccine, manufacturing medical devices, and building international hospitals. Minister Luhut said in a written statement on Wednesday that no single country can fight this pandemic alone. The government must establish cooperation, solidarity and friendship between countries to be able to fight this pandemic. None of the customary village in Indonesia has officially been recognized by the central governments as of August this year, despite assurance of such recognition. This was affirmed by Minister of Villages, Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Abdul Halim Iskandar in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Until now, the Ministry of Home Affairs has not issued any customary village certification for existing customary village. Minister Iskandar also explained that according to the status of an administrative village to that as a customary village will allow to the government to fulfill and regulate customary rights of villagers. He added that recognition of customary village has been regulated by municipal or district legislation as dictated by Article 98 of Law No. 6, 2014 on villages. The COVID-19 Handling Task Force has issued a circular regulating air travel for foreigners under which all regions will apply blanket testing rules. Travel industry has to be regulated strictly as high mobility can be a new source of COVID-19 transmissions. This was stated by spokesperson of the task force, Wiku Adhisa Smito, in a written statement received by Antara on Wednesday. According to the circular letter number 18/2021 on international travel health protocols amid the COVID-19 pandemic, in accordance with the enforcement of community activities restrictions level 1 to 4, all regions at all PPKM levels is now requiring the same COVID-19 test, a real-time PCR test taken up to 48 hours before travel, or rapid antigen test taken up to 24 hours before travel. Moreover, he also remarked that a vaccination certificate requirements has also been applied to all regions where travelers will need to carry certificates showing that they have received a last one dose. Let's move on to the international news. Brazil Senate on Wednesday approved a bill authorizing the president to temporarily break patent for vaccine and their ingredients in health or public emergencies, such as the coronavirus pandemic. As reported by Reuters.com, the bill, having already passed in the lower house, will go to President Jair Bolsonaro for possible signature. Bolsonaro has spoken against the proposal, saying it could harm Brazil's relationship with vaccine producers and that the country would not have the technology to produce some vaccines even if the patents were broken. The Senate restored some provisions removed by the lower house, including some that would require patent holders to share information and biological material necessary to reproduce vaccines and potential penalties should they not comply. Canadian government officials said on Wednesday that Canada is working to create a digital vaccine passport that would allow citizens to travel abroad, and it should be available in the next few months. As reported by Reuters.com, before the passport can be created, Ottawa needs to agree on a common approach with the 10 provinces and 3 northern territories, which are responsible for inoculations against COVID-19. Immigration Minister Marco Mendicino told reporters that it is a key step forward in ensuring Canadians will have the documents they need once it is safe to travel again. The European Union has a vaccine passport system that allows people to travel freely with the region. A number of other countries are working on vaccine passport for both domestic use and international travel. A new analysis suggests the current level of UK spending to combat climate change is lagging behind what advisors say is needed. A study by the pressures group WWF says new green policies in the March 2021 budget add up to just 0.01% of GDP. As quoted by BBC.com, the government's own advisory climate change committee has said 1% of national wealth or GDP must be spent every year in the UK to ensure climate targets are met. In November, the Prime Minister promised €12 billion for a 10-point plan green industrial revolution. WWF says its research also shows that the same budget policy that encouraged pollution totaled €40 billion, far more than the Prime Minister's green plan. That was the news.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. From Indonesia to the world.
ya tanah airku, aku berjanji padamu menjunjung tanah airku, tanah airku Indonesia.
Berjuang, terus berjuanglah.
Badan pemudi pemuda Indonesia, tangan baju musim
Indonesiaku, negeri kita bersama.
Belah dada kita,
letakkan Garuda di dada kita
yang mengucur darah merah putih Indonesia.
State-owned oil and gas company PT Pertamina officially takes over the Roken Block from the previous operator, PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia, a subsidiary of a multinational energy company, Chevron Corp. Since Monday, the management of the oil field in Roken Block, Riau Province, fell onto the hands of PT Pertamina Hulu Roken. Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Arifin Tasrif said the takeover was a milestone in Indonesian upstream oil and gas industry. Yes, the government handed over the Roken Block to PT Pertamina. But can they really manage the Roken Block? Can they maintain the oil production or even surpass the current oil production?
Based on data from the Oil and Gas Special Regulatory Task Force, or SKK Migas, as per June 2021, under PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia, Rokan Block produced 165,000 barrels of oil per day, or around 24% of the total national oil production. The greatest challenge faced by PT Pertamina is maintaining the production number, or increasing it. Maintaining the production has never been easy. Therefore, as posted by Pertamina on their Instagram on Wednesday, President Joko Widodo asked the company to work their fingers to the bone for the sake of the Rokan Block's continuity. PT Pertamina needs to work hard so that history will not repeat. When PT Pertamina took over Blok Mahakam, the production dropped significantly. If this happens again, it will be a bad precedent. To increase production after the takeover, PT Pertamina targets to drill 161 new oil wells in August until December 2021, in hope that Rokan can maintain their current production and become one of the nation's main oil producers. In achieving this goal, PT Pertamina needs qualified human resources who truly understand oil block management. Pertamina also needs sophisticated tax, or at least the ones in the same level with Chevron's in managing the oil well. PT Pertamina Hulu Rokan must show the world that they can manage the Rokan Block and even do better than PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia. Therefore, PT Pertamina will be able to support national energy security.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
Listener, Today in History starts with the event on August 12, 1902, when Muhammad Hatta was born. Muhammad Hatta was a fighter, statesman, economist, and also the first vice president of Indonesia. He and Sukarno delivered the Proclamation of Indonesian Independence on August 17, 1945. Hatta is also known as the father of Indonesian cooperatives. Tangerang Banten International Airport, Soekarno-Hatta Airport, uses his name as a tribute to his services. Besides being enshrined in Indonesia, the name Muhammad Hatta was also immortalized in the Netherlands, namely as the name of a street in the residential area of Zuiderpolder, Harlem, under the name Mohammed Hatta Straat. Next event is that in 1985, Japan Airlines Flight 123 crash. Japan Airlines Flight 123 crash on Mount Takamagahara in Gunma Prefecture, Japan, 100 kilometers from Tokyo on August 12, 1985. All 15 crew members and 505 of the 509 passengers were killed from the total of 520 people. There were 4 survivors. Japan Airlines 123 took off from Haneda Airport at 6:12 p.m. local time. As the aircraft flew over Sagami Bay, the rear aft bulkhead of the aircraft broke and caused an explosion that tore the tail of the aircraft. The detachment of this tail damaged the entire hydraulic system of the aircraft as a whole and caused the plane to hover uncontrollably for about 30 minutes before crashing into a mountain. last event of August 12th is about the commemoration of World Youth Day. World Youth Day was the first commemorated on August 12, 2000. It was initiated by the United Nations in 1999 by adopting Resolution 54/120. The commemoration recognizes the importance of youth participation in political, economic, and social processes. On the occasion of World Youth Day, concerts, workshops, cultural events, and meetings involving national and local government officials and youth organizations take place around the world. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Apa yang harus ku katakan?
are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Environment and Forestry Ministry Director General for Waste Management Rosafifin Ratnawati explained about the mercury removal achievement in Indonesia. In a press conference on Tuesday, Fifin said Indonesia already has the Mercury Reductions and Removal National Action Plan, or RAN PPM, in 2019, which has been fruitful in recent years. The mercury in small-scale gold mines was successfully reduced in 2019 to 2020 up to 10.45 tons. Based on the 2020 National Action Plan, mercury use reduction for 2020 in lighting and battery industries was 374.4 kilograms. Besides that, the mercury-containing emissions reductions in the energy priority sector was 719 kilograms. The reduction in health equipment, such as blood pressure gauge and thermometer, was 4.733 ton. Fifin explained environment and health issues caused by mercury use release and emission that is still a worrying global issue. Indonesian government had ratified the Law No. 11, Year 2017 on Minamata Convention on Mercury Rectification, that was followed up with the Mercury Reduction and Removal National Action Plan. Indonesia will also host the COP4 Minamata Convention on Mercury. The conference will be held in November 2021 virtually and March 2022 offline in Bali. Fifin said Indonesia will keep committed to reduce and remove mercury. Minamata Convention about Mercury is an international patch designed to protect human and environment's health from the mercury that can cause Minamata disease. The patch had been adopted and opened to be signed on October 10, 2013. This patch had been signed by 128 countries. Minamata is a neurological dysfunction caused by acute mercury poisoning that can cause paralysis and mental disorder. The name was taken from a city in Japan where this disease was first discovered in 1958. Minamata disease is caused by environmental damage from mercury disposals in great numbers by chemical factories for tens of years in the region.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website, voanews.id.
Indonesia, hadapi. Dengan tulus dan ikhlas, ini pasti berlalu. Indonesia.
Wujud apresiasi kami kepada dokter, juru rawat, relawan, TNI, Polri, dan semua pejuang kemanusiaan di garda terdepan yang menghadapi pandemi COVID-19. Kalian adalah pahlawan sejati.
Jaga titiara.
listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Teteh Batu Village in Mas Bagik District, East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara is the representative of Indonesia in the Best Tourism Village UNWTO or United Nations World Tourism Organization 2021 event. The participation of the Teteh Batu Tourism Village has been confirmed after completing all the required competition documents and being registered through the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. Chairperson of the Tourism Village Association West Nusa Tenggara, Ahya Kaminuddin, explained that Teteh Batu is worthy of representing Indonesia in the event because it is an initial milestone in the establishment of a tourism village in East Lombok. Teteh Batu Village has been a tourism village since the Dutch era. The location is under Mount Rinjani with an altitude of about 700 meters above sea level. In the past, the Europeans who first came to Mataram used it as a place to rest because of its coolness and tranquility. To get to the village, tourists have to take about 1.5 hours by motor vehicles from the downtown of Mataram City or 2 hours from Lombok International Airport. Visit the tourism village of Teteh Batu, as far as the eye can see, you will see the residents' rice fields. Located at the foot of Mount Rinjani, Teteh Batu offers a quiet and cool rural where visitors can walk around the village through the green rice fields while enjoying its beautiful nature. If anyone loves photographies, please visit this place in the afternoon to take a picture of the atmosphere from the dusk to sunset with its stunning background of Mount Rinjani. In addition to enjoying the views of rice fields and mountains, visitors can also do bird watching and visit the monkey forest. There are also interesting tourism attractions to visit, such as Ulam Ulam Waterfalls, Swallowbird Waterfall, Kokok Duren Waterfall, Semedeye Waterfall, and Jeruk Manis Waterfall. The journey to the waterfall will pass through the village area and terrace rice fields. In Teteh Batu, visitors can also walk around the village and see plantations owned by the local people such as coffee, cacao, cloves, and vanilla. Teteh Batu is also known as a village with horticultural plantations. One of its mainstay commodities is nutmeg, one of which is processed into candied fruit for souvenirs. Teteh Batu is also one of the unofficial hiking routes to Mount Rinjani. If visitors want to climb to Mount Rinjani with a different view, they can use this route. However, climbing the route in Teteh Batu is not allowed to reach the peak of the mountain. Because it has been designated as a tourism area for a long time, Teteh Batu has already provided lodging and homestays at residents' homes.
Teman-teman pelit, semuanya ngisi.
Well then listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, students of the Faculty of Fisheries and Marine Sciences at Brawijaya University, consisting of Indri Dwi Fitria, Rani Alvira, Jamila, Zahrotul Jannah, Kevin, and Alfian Homis Fadil, were inspired to make a body lotion that can prevent COVID-19. They made the body lotion because it was inspired by the widespread use of hand sanitizer, which actually causes dehydration of the skin so that it becomes dry. According to the students, body lotion is still the solution for most people because it has benefits to moisturize and nourish the skin. However, the use of synthetic ingredients such as butylated hydroxytoluenes or BHT and parabens in body lotion has a negative effect in long-term use and has been proven to be toxic and carcinogenic. To overcome this problem, the five students finally made a body lotion by utilizing the flavonoid content in moringa leaf and the skin collagen of catfish named Moristin. This innovation succeeded in obtaining research funding from the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia in the 2021 Entrepreneurship Student Creativity Week. Indri Dwi Fitria explained that the content of moringa leaves such as apiin, epicatechin, and hespretretin, which has a good affinity for the active site of HCE2 or angiotensin converting enzyme 2, can inhibit the SARS-CoV-2 interaction process. In addition, the collagen from catfish skin can be used to prevent premature aging, prevent wrinkles, moisturize the skin, and increase skin elasticity. Moristin is a skin care product that is safe, healthy, and it provides more protection without causing side effects when used regularly. Moristin is formulated as an antiseptic body lotion that is rich in antioxidants. It enables the skin to be moist and healthy, protects from UV rays, and avoids the threat of bacteria and viruses. Moristin comes in three variants, including Orient Fresh, Choco Melt, and Vanilla Sweet, which are packaged in two sizes, 250 milliliter and 60 milliliter. Moristin is now spread commercially in online stores and also present on the active Instagram page at moristin.id so that buyers can find out the latest info on the product. Indri hopes that with the presence of this Moristin body lotion product, it can attract people's interest to continue to apply health protocols and take care of themselves amid the COVID-19 pandemic without having to worry about side effects from using body lotion product regularly. That's Miss Seleni.
Sementara jangan bercabat tangan demi kebaikan keamanan kita bersama. Marilah bersatu padu, stop penyebaran virus corona. Tetap tenang, tidak panik, tingkatkan kewaspadaan. Marilah kita berjuang, cegah penyebaran virus corona. Pasti bisa melewati, hadapi.
Voice of Indonesia present again the Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2021. Win interesting prizes from the Voice of Indonesia. For more info, please visit our website voinews.id.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today I'm going to present to you a song by Humania. In the 1990s, Indonesian music was enlivened by Humania, which brought a blend of jazz, blues, and reggae with a theme of humanity. Humania, consisting of Eki Puradireja as vocals and Heru Singhi as synthesizers and keyboards, had their first album entitled Terserah, which was released in 1994. The flagship song of the same title, Terserah, became a hit at that time. This is because Humania comes with free pop music, reggae, and a little touch of jazz, in the midst of the rise of pop and disco. The formula offered by Humania was succeeded in attracting the attention of Indonesian music lovers. Listener, here is Humania with song Terserah.
Murder style in yes, no.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.